Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Jackals, the whole lot of you just waiting in the wings for me to make a mistake. Thankfully, I went and got reinforcements. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agumake back with us off another week of WNBA preseason in the book. Practice again today. Janae, how are we feeling? I've got two things for you here. I've got an announcement and I've got a surprise for you. Which one do you want first?
I want the announcement first.
All right. Well, the announcement that comes up first. Before we get into anything about LeBron James, I want to talk to you about what happened to the Lakers at the hands of the Clippers last night and what we've got coming up tonight against the Trailblazers. We've got superlatives for rookie quarterbacks I want to get with you, Janae. But the announcement that we have is after a week where I didn't think it was possible, we went an entire hour without talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, really?
Did not mention it. You didn't even say the name once. And so to compensate for that, I feel like around here, radio is obsessed with these things called blinks. They're little 15-second sound bites that for some reason we've got to play all the time in the body of these shows. And I don't really get it. But to fill our quota of Aaron Rodgers conversation and the conversation around these blinks, I'm going to fire this one off so everyone gets their fill.
And if he really wants out, he's going to have to
get dirty.
Not necessarily get dirty, just really tell him, yo, this is, I don't care.
Who's going to win out in that situation, the GM or the face of the franchise?
I mean, that's intense stuff right there. If that doesn't make you want to listen to us on ESPN Radio, I don't know what will. So, Janae, are you proud of us for that before I show you your surprise?
I don't even care about that. I need my surprise now.
All right, well, your surprise, as you remember yesterday and we heard coming back in, I basically created the Milwaukee Bay Buccaneers yesterday by calling the Milwaukee Bucks the Buccaneers. And so, Janae, I don't know if you saw the viral video going around of Sam Darnold trying to draw the logo for the Carolina Panthers. He did a really bad job of it. Everyone was kind of making fun of him. I decided I would draw the Milwaukee Bay Buccaneer.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, hold on. You're actually pretty good.
Yeah, no, I'm actually kind of nice like that. But for anyone that's like not watching or not watching on ESPN Plus and listening on the radio show, it's the Milwaukee Buck mascot, but I gave him the old creamsicle Tampa Bay Buccaneer hat.
That is so impressive. Wait, what's that on top of the hat?
It's like the little flower thing. I kind of got a little lazy with that. My highlighter that was in my backpack started to run out of ink, so it all.
Junior, now I know how you made it through college. Like, clearly, when you were bored, you probably doodled, huh?
Oh, man. My old notebook, Chine, because, like, you know how it is. You're sitting in meetings all the time in practice. You're getting ready for all these things. My notebooks were lined with the weirdest doodles on planet Earth.
You know, next time you tell a woman you surprise them and it's a doodle, I think we can do a little bit better. So next time we can work through this, okay? I got a surprise. It's a doodle. All right, bet. Thanks.
That is a fair point. As we get ready for Mother's Day weekend, I can assure you that I did not get my mom a doodle. So
good.
We can We can go that far. So as I will now try and remember to have better surprises in the future with Chine, let's get to what we saw last night in the association.
Anthony Davis has a history of injuries. He just got back, and here he is out again.
Seeding doesn't matter for the Lakers. They know if they can get healthy, the type of team they put on the floor is a championship team.
Two blank segment. Put that one in the listening
section.
Oh,
this is fancy.
Yeah, I was like, we got all the tricks right now. ESPN Radio is moving up in the world, Janae. And that makes us very different from what's happening with the Los Angeles Lakers. Janae, I said earlier in the show, it seems like we're getting towards the zero barrier right now with the Lakers, where if this doesn't get figured out soon, if we can't see some positive signs soon, this team that is trending towards the play-in tournament might be in serious trouble. Do you think they are one healthy-ish LeBron James away from turning this around, or are these real issues?
These are real issues. And I think, who was it? I forgot who it was. Was it a Dave McMenamin that put out a tweet saying that LeBron James, his absence from games was not tied necessarily to the medical scenario of an athlete dealing with injury. I think this team is going through some real things. And we all thought that LeBron James, and we still do believe when he's out there, he is super heroic. But the last season coupled with this season has created a challenge for athletes in ways that sort of have humbled themselves. And I think yesterday was one of those examples. Anthony Davis back, and then now he's injured again. Like, the magic with the Lakers in this season seems to be waning to the point that I am not confident in them in the playoffs. just because they don't necessarily have that continuity and, most importantly, the availability of their stars in a way that other teams have right now.
Yeah, Janae, you mentioned the Magic with this team. Like, the Magic's two guys. It's LeBron James and Anthony Davis, right? Like, I was a role player when I was on teams. I knew, yeah, I can help our team win, but I'm not going to be the reason that we win ever. And Kyle Kuzma and Montrell Harris and all these guys are great supplementary parts, but if these two aren't firing on all cylinders, they're in a lot of trouble. Now, they play the Portland Trail Blazers tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern on ESPN.
That's an important one, Junior, and I'm going to tell you why. If you look at the standings, I don't know if you were going to go there. They're 1-2 in the standings, 6-7, I believe, right?
6-7 in the standings, and we know, Chinee, 1-1 on the seasons. The Lakers currently hold the tiebreaker, but this is right with their toes on the edge of that line, staring at the abyss that is the play-in tournament.
My goodness, whoever wins this has a firm hold on the sixth position, and the person that loses that, I mean, they're getting closer to Golden State, who's only two games prior in losses. That could sort of make an edge the final stretch. And so the Lakers are absolutely in a murky territory right now. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, when fully healthy, or at least as healthy as they can be, they can change that trajectory, but right now it seems like they're trending in the opposite direction.
Chinee Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chinee Igwumike. Now, I'm going to play you this. Stephen A. Smith, co-host of First Take, host of Stephen A.'s World on ESPN+, was talking about what the Lakers are potentially looking at right now. That play-in tournament that LeBron James hated so much, and he's not even sure how well that would go for them.
I'm scared for the Los Angeles Lakers. I want to put the basketball world on official notice. I don't even know if the Lakers are getting past the play-in game.
What?
I don't even know if the Lakers are playing the play-in game.
Wow.
They don't look good. They don't look good. They don't look good at all. Anthony Davis, listen. We all know when healthy, the guy is all world. But everything that can happen seems to happen to him. It was his calf injury. Then it looked like it was his ankle last night early in the first quarter. And then after that, we hear that it's back spasms, for crying out loud. LeBron James comes back, he plays. He says he'll never be 100% again. I believe that's hyperbole. I don't believe it for 1 second. But he could be talking about, I'm not going to be 100% again this season.
And, Janae, I think the reason Stephen A. says that, because, again, we have to remind people with this play-in tournament, the 7 through 10 seeds are in the tournament, but it's not 7 playing 10, 8 playing 9. It is 7 against 8 in the first portion of this, and that 8th seed is the Golden State Warriors. Janae, I would call the Golden State Warriors play-in matchup against a potential Los Angeles Lakers team as the force versus object. Meaning it's not the unstoppable force versus the immovable object. In their current states, it's just force and object. But do you think Golden State, Steph Curry, who's been a one-man mission for the last month, that would be a team that could actually take the Lakers out if given the opportunity?
Steph Curry can take anyone out. You saw what he did to the Philadelphia 76ers when he was motivated in that amazing month of April. And so if you are having a rough night as an NBA team and Steph Curry is having a great night, the odds tip to Steph Curry's favor, you know, and I think that that's the excitement of the play-in. But it doesn't reward the teams that necessarily have had the better seasons. It rewards the hottest player of the moment, which we saw sort of in the bubble and those moments being captured in a way that transcended to this year. So if I'm a team, I would not want to play Steph Curry. I would like to play the Warriors. And if Steph Curry is on a tear, he can take down anybody in that 7-10 range.
Whew, that becomes the worry. So again, 10 o'clock Eastern tonight, the Lakers and the Trailblazers, 6-7 in a game that feels like it already might be a playoff-level tournament.
Wait, Junior.
Uh-oh. Oh, God.
I think we have a must-win game tonight in the NBA.
Ooh, hoo, hoo, hoo. Chinee, that might actually be underselling it. This is worth shots of that right now. The Lakers on life support, 10 o'clock Eastern on ESPN against the Portland Trailblazers. But coming up next, I have to ask Chinee the all-important question of the day and introduce everybody to the NFL's hottest young couple going into the 2021 season.
Now you have my attention.
We'll do that next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinee and Golick Jr., the podcast.
We remember all the time we spend together. Hey.
Janae Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. It had been a while since we had really laid out and let you get into the music, Janae.
I know. As I was singing, I was like, wow, I remember how I used to do this every break.
It's good to have it back here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll talk to Field Yates in about 10 minutes here on Chené and Golic Jr. But, Chené, it is that time. Like, I don't know about you. I guess now I'm almost 32 years old, so why would I be thinking about graduations coming up? But, like, the time warp of this last couple of years, I completely forget that May, people are getting ready to graduate. Everyone's getting ready to walk. Do you have any sort of, like, memory of something weird someone did around graduation like that with the song? Because I have a middle school graduation weird moment that
I have something.
Oh, you do? All right, what do you got?
So the most memorable graduation was not at Stanford when Bill and Melinda Gates, now. They spoke at our commencement, but it was actually my elementary graduation where, born and raised in Houston, Texas, in order to pass to go to middle school, you had to pass your square dance test. And so that was the graduation test that, like, really.
Oh, my God.
Like, looking back now, I was like, oh, I never forgot. Like, we had our parents come, and if you didn't do well in the square dance, you couldn't make it to middle school. So that's my experience with graduation.
I love that in the school systems in this country, we all get out of college and we're like, I wish they had taught us how to do our taxes. But ye, and I cannot stress this enough, do I know how to square dance coming out of elementary school.
My boo scootin' baby is driving me crazy. Yeah, that's what I grew up on. Okay, what about you?
Well, I remember, so middle school, graduating from 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, the emotional experience that is before going to high school, our science teacher gets on the PA at the end of school on the very last day, and he was the guy that was going to bust out in his guitar in class all the time. And so he got on the PA at the end of school and played and sang Good Riddance, the Time of Your Life song by Green Day, over the intercom for a bunch of middle school students. It is seared into my brain forever. I may not have learned how to square dance, but Green Day is now a part of my life forever in a way that I never thought possible.
A banger. What inspired all of this graduation conversation, Junior?
Well, we're all getting ready to, you know, go through graduation with all these different people, high school, college, and we thought we got a class of players getting ready to graduate and head to the NFL, group of five quarterbacks, and so we thought, as you have in the yearbooks all the time, we get to some superlatives for these guys. So, Connor, do we have a little music here? Nope, we don't have a little music here. All right. Maybe
no music.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. That's all we need is the primetime bed right here.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Chené, you good for some NFL rookie QB superlatives?
Yes. Here are the superlatives for this outstanding quarterback class. All right, Junior, you're going to tell me who the most likely to succeed is going to be.
Most likely to succeed in this quarterback class, I'm going to go with Trey Lance and the 49ers. We kind of said any quarterback that wound up here would be in a good spot. But you look at this offense. When healthy, they've been a beast. Kyle Shanahan, when he's had the full complement of people in his offenses, has been great. Similar concepts and personnel to what Trey Lance ran at North Dakota State. Kyle Shanahan, we've said, this guy's almost like having another quarterback in the room himself. So I'll go Trey Lance, and I'll go the 49ers today.
I think my 1B would actually be Mac Jones and the Patriots, but it's more on the system than it is the actual quarterback. Now, how about this superlative? Best couple, rookie QB and obviously his top target.
Yeah, so we wanted to go that matchup, and I look, Chené, not for even who's going to be the most successful, but who needs each other. Like, you just look at that couple and go, yeah, you know what? They were good for each other. Justin Fields and Allen Robinson in Chicago. Because you could argue George Kittle and Trey Lance. Like, George Kittle's one of the best receiving options of any position name in the NFL. But Justin Fields got used to last year, especially at Ohio State, having like one or two receivers he really had to work through, one or two prime targets in that offense. And Allen Robinson's just having to deal with quarterback frustration galore in the Bears QB room for the last few years. That guy has deserved so much better. And I feel like he's about to get it in a way that should make us all collectively go, aw.
Aw, I do like that. And by the way, I think it was Allen Robinson before the season started that said, y'all, I might want to get out of here. But he stuck through it, and now he has a quarterback. How about this? Biggest flirt.
Yeah, this one speaks to us here at Chené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. I'm going to go Zach Wilson, right? Like, he was all the flash and sex appeal in the pre-draft process.
Big Zac Efron energy in the draft.
That's what I mean. Like, he showed up to the draft looking like a boy band extra. Like,
I mean, you're supposed to say High School Musical, you know, but continue.
That is true. I can say very High School Musical. You're right. But beyond that, like, the style of play, a lot of people wondering, all right, is he a one-year wonder? 2019 didn't look as good. Is he all sizzle? Is there enough steak involved in this? But You're definitely intrigued. You're definitely into it. He's not quite a leather jacket, Chiné, because I don't think he's cool enough to pull that off, but he's the next most intriguing thing as far as sex appeal in this class.
I can't believe you. Okay, I'm just going to keep going. Biggest overachiever. And in high school, you hate being called an overachiever. It's like a suck up. But who's the biggest overachiever of this class?
This is the thing that sucks too, Chiné, is when it came to superlatives, I got offered when I was in high school. Like, I didn't get hit in the superlatives there. I will never stop holding a grudge against Northwest Catholic for that reason, but I digress. Overachiever is probably the one that, over the long course of things, I would have qualified for. But I'm going to go with Mac Jones. First off, his name is McCorkle, so that's number one. But you think about it. He was the guy at the helm of a video game offense at Alabama. He was a guy that when he came in for Tua Tagovailoa in the 2019 season, people kind of treated like he wasn't some big-time four-star prospect for reasons unknown. He's going to a Patriots team that just got used to, I don't know, the standard of 20 years with a guy that was picked number 199 who's now going to go down as the GOAT. They went 7-9, and so what do? They threw a bunch of money at the tight end room. They're getting offensive linemen back. They're getting more players back from the COVID opt-outs than any other team in the NFL. So this guy is going to go for a team that last year roster-wise looked like a bare cupboard and is now walking into another really quality situation, and that's before we even get to the coaching staff and organization.
That is a very nice landing spot when you get the help you deserve. Now, last but not least, most school spirit. Spirit fingers, ladies and gentlemen, spirit fingers.
Those aren't spirit fingers.
These are spirit fingers. Bring it on, y'all.
Most school spirit. This one's twofold because I got to give this one. We had to find one for Trevor Lawrence. And when you think about a guy who, when he was in college, got all the credit with Justin Fields for being the guys that, air quote, saved college football in 2020. But then you also double up on the fact that Urban Meyer, we know if anyone has forgotten and not heard this point a million times enough, he's never coached at the NFL level as a head coach. He comes over from college, so loves college so much, he's thinking about signing Tim Tebow as a tight end after everything that's happened. So, Chiné, I would say there's got to be plenty of school spirit going on down in Jacksonville as they get ready for this upcoming season.
Most likely to succeed, Trey Lance, best couple, Justin Fields and Allen Robinson. Biggest flirt, Zach Wilson. Wilson. Biggest overachiever, Mac Jones. And then most school spirit, Trevor Lawrence. I love it.
It's a beautiful thing. And coming up next, we'll figure out where our very own Chiné Igwumike fell and ranked in the superlative categories when she was coming out of school, and our friend Field Yates, who I have to imagine was a superlative factory coming out back in the day. He'll join us next here after this word from 303 Products. Now, are you looking for a professional level of protection for your car's paint, but without the cost that you'd pay a professional detailer? New revolutionary 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating provides just that. 12 months of protection with a simple mode of application. You can do it yourself all in no time. Your car, it's going to leave it with crazy, insane levels of shine and depth. Plus, the water beading is nuts. Your car will never look better. It also is going to keep your car looking that way longer, too. The layer of protection helps repel dust and fights off water spotting. It does this by making water shed quickly from the surface and lowering the actual surface temperature so the water doesn't end up drying the paint. It's also great to use in your car's glass, the wheels, the trim, all that good stuff. And now available at Advance Auto Parts and Pet Boys locations nationwide. Or you can learn more by visiting 303radio.com. Are we really going to talk about Aaron Rodgers next here on ESPN Radio?
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Chiné Igwumike. We're presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. We head out to the Goodyear Hotline where we're kind enough. Field Yates is kind enough to join us, our ESPN NFL insider and co-host of the First Draft podcast on the Goodyear Hotline. And Field, I just saw you up on NFL Live talking quarterback fits. We were doing quarterback superlatives here since we've got all this graduation going on in the spring. And I was wondering, I know Chiné was like a superstar and probably got the superlative for everything.
Oh, gosh.
We know you were a stud coming out of high school, Field. Any superlative that you got put up for in that high school yearbook back in the day?
Most likely to spend 16 hours with Mike Golic Jr. during draft weekend of 2021. I think that's the only one that I can recall. Besides that, nothing really comes to mind.
That seems like the one that, unfortunately, like, you drew the short straw of high school superlatives. Weirdly predictive, though, for a high school back in the day. So good on them for having that foresight.
Which was, it was like a little bit too specific for my comfort. And I know we got to get into like football talk, but yeah, there are like, I don't even know how many ways there are to describe how Chennai has made it. I'm not even going to bother listing them all, but I'm not a producer of TikToks. I am an occasional consumer of TikToks. And you know, like you go through the Discover page and just like notable TikToks just like appear on the platform or on the page there. Yeah, Chennai and her sister making the way onto the do they call it the Discover page on TikTok? I know that's what it is on Instagram, but
that's good. You're right. It might be the Discover on TikTok and then Explore on Instagram.
Yeah, I might have it. Yeah, one of those two. So Chennai, I know you've got I don't know how many notches in your belt right now in terms of like notable accomplishments, but throw another one onto the list.
Most likely to crush a TikTok, Chennai Ogwumike. Yeah, that's it for me.
I was going to say, that was, and we played that for the ESPN Plus audience around here. Everyone's seen it on the LA Sparks Twitter account. Chennai and her sister, NECA, getting after it, ready to get going for this upcoming season. As we're talking to Field Yates with us on the Goodyear Hotline, our ESPN NFL insider and a guy who I did, get to spend 16 hours with this past weekend as we digested everything from the NFL draft. And Field, I remember looking at you bleary-eyed on Saturday as we're getting deep into the weeds of the final rounds of this draft. And so I want to bring us all the way back to night one. Bring us back to the quarterbacks that we saw come off the top of the board. We did superlatives for them, but as you look at this class of players, the best fit for you, the guy that when we were sitting over there, you immediately jotted down and said, yes, this is a home run for player and franchise alike, maybe outside of the number one overall pick in Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I kind of feel like we had two separate drafts this year, right? It was the Trevor Lawrence going first to the Jaguars, then there was the other 258 selection. So I'm inclined to say Trey Lance, which is interesting because, as has been noted countless times, Kyle Shanahan has coached a ton of quarterbacks, but none of them have had the physical profile of Trey Lance. The best athletes that he's ever coached have been Robert Griffin III and Johnny Manziel. If you stack those two up next to Trey Lance, I mean, Trey Lance is like a Hulk, right? He's all of 6'3", 6'4", and 225, 235 pounds. So he's a machine. Whereas RG3 is, you know, a much more slenderly, is that a word? Slenderly? He's just more slender as a quarterback than Trey Lance. And then Johnny Manziel, two guys. So Trey Lance is the one that comes to mind. And as I thought about it more, I do think there is something to be said for Mac Jones and the Patriots and the fit there. And I understand that he was the fifth off the board, so ostensibly he has the lowest upside or, you know, the least capable of the five. But as I was saying during the pre-draft process, before we knew where these guys were going to end up, other than Trevor and Zach Wilson 1-2, is that there's no, like, consolation prize in this year's quarterback class. These are all five stud prospects. But Mac Jones, as we know, is going to go to a system that for 20 years, the ecosystem was built around Tom Brady and winning from the pocket and winning as much before the snap as it was after the snap. And yes, Cam Newton is there. And yes, there's a chance, maybe a good one, that Cam starts the season as QB1. But I do think that Mac Jones is one of those guys that perhaps because of the possibility of him going third overall, the evaluation got a little bit out of whack. Like he went from underrated to all of a sudden like not worth a third overall pick to underappreciated. I think this is a guy who has a chance to really exceed with the right offensive line and weapons around him.
Not bad landing spots for both of those guys, Mac and Trey. Field Yates joining us here, ESPN NFL insider on Chennai Ogwumike Jr. on ESPN Radio. And Field, you know, you talk about being underappreciated. We saw a story that as two former – well, I'm counting yourself in there – as former athletes, all three of us here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it. One thing that we saw were basically these players that are dealing with pandemic be underappreciated relative to the league, because we saw the Players Association fire back after the NFL's voluntary offseason workout policy and the injury surrounding Juwan James. So seeing that, you know, rhetoric going back and forth, it seems like there's a lack of understanding on the constraints that these players are in and the NFL sort of finding a resolve. How have you seen that whole situation evolve?
Yeah, it's been a really fascinating one that I'll continue to follow until there's some sort of conclusion drawn. So I think it's important to always start with the facts here, right? And let's start with the fundamental fact that the NFL's offseason program, when it is running normally, is something like, you know, 8, 10, or 12 weeks. There's still a lot of time during the offseason. The players are on their own. It's their responsibility to be staying active and keeping themselves in shape and making sure that they're at their football fitness apex, which, you know, there's going to be risk involved with that. The other set of facts is that the NFL and the NFLPA came up with this language in the CBA, which was negotiated just a year ago, right? We were dealing with this during the early portions of the pandemic, that if a player is away from his facility and he suffers an injury that's significant enough to cost him time on the field, he is subject to the possible forfeiture of salary. And the reason why, or one of the reasons why this case, that rule exists, is what the NFL doesn't want to have happen, and teams and players for that matter, is, let's say an NFL player plays a game of pickup basketball and tears his ACL or is skiing and shreds his knee or what have you. The NFL teams, you know, that's where they don't want to be on the hook if a non-football incident takes place. The problem is, if you don't have language about that specifically says, hey, if you're away from the facility, well, then every player who gets injured, whether freak or real, is going to say, I was training, right? If all you have to do is be training, they're going to say, I was training. So what? Well, you can't take that away from me. No player would ever fess up to tearing his knee, you know, skiing or something like that. So it's a very slippery slope right now because the players are enraged. There are players who are more aware of this rule than they ever were before. The problem, I think, is that this was negotiated a year ago, and I think maybe the way that this is made right is it's kind of in the Broncos' court. The ball's in their court now. Is the Broncos have the right to forfeit salary, or hold, I should say, make Juwan James forfeit salary. Or they can say, nah, man, you're all good. We're paying you $10 million. If the Broncos don't take any salary away or take a smaller amount than the full $10 million, I think this story goes away a little bit more than if they withhold all $10 million. Because if they withhold all $10 million, it's going to be a lot of players, not just Juwan James, that get mad, mad, mad.
If they withhold all $10 million, I think we can start to look at this as very much the league, the coaches, the organization saying, all right, all these players and the NFLPA in their letters saying they're not coming in to work out, you just got put on notice. And I think that's the subtext that everyone's getting ready to watch. Follow him on Twitter, at Field Yates. Check him out. You see him on NFL Live all over the network. Field, we appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks,
we'll talk
Field.
To you soon.
Thank you, guys. I love doing it on Fridays. Talk to you again soon.
Yeah, Field Yates on a Friday. We talked Janae, we got to go back to our conversation with Trevor Scales the other day, host of Sports Nation. The two most punnable names for ESPN segments, Field Yates and Trevor Scales.
Field of Dreams, yeah, totally. I mean, like, I feel bad. At least I don't have that problem with my name.
That is true. You know what? I can say, that is very true. You get to skate any sort of puns in that. And, by the way, Janae, ring the bell for us again as far as things that we skated. Didn't talk about Aaron Rodgers once in that interview with Field Yates.
Thank you.
Maybe some of our bosses think that we're not doing our job by doing that. I think we are doing a valuable public service.
We are.
To people that have had enough of this situation already, and it's just getting started. But coming up next, we want to talk about a situation, a developing situation in the NBA right now for one of its bright young superstars. Some bad news on the injury front that we'll get to next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in Sunday as Grant Williams and the Celtics host Trevor Ariza and the Heat, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations.
Grant Williams.
He's getting ready. He's activated. It's the playoff push, Janae.
It is. They're right on the precipice. I think the Celtics are seventh in the East, and they're trying to get up to six.
That Grant Williams difference. Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinne Agbumike, and as we're talking about the push at the end of the season, Chinne, one player who may not be out there is Zion Williamson, out indefinitely with a fractured left ring finger. And David Griffin of the Pelicans, their executive vice president of basketball operations, did not mince words talking about this Friday. He said, quote, "He's injured now because of the open season there's been on Zion Williamson in the paint. There's more violence encouraged in the paint against Zion Williamson than any player I've seen since Shaq." Pretty damning shot at the officiating in the NBA, and I have to imagine that's something the league office is going to take note of.
So this is real, and it's annoying. So this is going to be personalized through a semi-Chinese court. Today in training camp, we had our points of emphasis conversation with officials. And I was so relieved, Junior, that finally one of the points of emphasis for the WNBA was freedom of movement in the post. Because your girl takes a begging 24/7. And I know sometimes I try to be like out there with thug life and try to act tough. But the reality is some players handle officials in a way that is more confrontational versus others. And so Zion Williamson, and we talked about it earlier this year, and Stan Van Gundy has said it vocally, like, this man does not cry for foul calls. And he deals with a different set of attention based on his skill set and his natural God-given gifts, his strength. And it's unfortunate when these two worlds collide, but I can totally see what Stan is talking about.
Well, yeah, and the frustration you hear again, this is another David Griffin quote. Quote, I'm really frustrated because this was avoidable. We told the NBA through every means available to us, through sending film, through speaking to everybody in the officials department and everybody in basketball ops, that the way they were officiating Zion was going to get him injured. Mm. And, Janae, this is one of the brightest young stars in the league, and it's a bit different because normally when we talk about post players down low, it's a bit of a different body type. Zion is sort of this weird unicorn physically where we see him point Zion, bringing the ball up the court, slashing into the paint, but also being a guy that's going to use that physical prowess in a way that's different. David Griffin arguing this, bringing up Shaq, I think is interesting considering he was in Cleveland with LeBron James for a long time, and it felt like LeBron in sort of the opposite sense. We've seen him get that star treatment for a while. And I'm having a tough time recalling earlier enough into LeBron's career for someone who came on with as much fanfare as he did, him ever really being allowed to be touched in the ways that Zion's been allowed to be touched by opposing teams.
Yeah. LeBron got the benefit of the doubt a lot of times with calls just because that's what great talent, the world tends to bend towards them and their will. And we know that as athletes, that's just the code. If you're going up against an all-time great, like, that person's likely going to get the call, and you likely are not.
But, Janae, shouldn't Zion be in that category based on how he came into the league?
Absolutely, and more so, I think the difference that you mentioned, comparing Zion to Shaq. Shaq is doing his damage around the restricted area, the paint, the lower block. Zion is free-flowing with the ball in his hands where he's more vulnerable, catching it, skying out of the rebounds, pushing it, crossing over, and then dealing with contact from rim to rim. And so the way that officiating should treat a Zion should be with a little bit more tender love and care, not only knowing that this is the future potentially of the NBA, but also knowing that, you know, he's someone that has worked personally to get his body in a place where he is playing at a high level, and you would never want that jeopardized just because, oh, he looks bigger, faster, and stronger. You know, and so I understand completely what David Griffin, what, you know, his coach has been saying. And I think that's where the comparisons are different. Shaq would drop step you and take double teams and triple teams and people would hang on you. Zion is mixing through cone drills throughout, you know, how long is it? 72 feet, 100, whatever feet of the court. And so that makes him that much more vulnerable, and I'm glad someone is speaking out on his behalf.
So again, Pelicans executive director of basketball ops, David Griffin, out here letting everyone know he believes the way the NBA is officiating Zion is the reason he is now out indefinitely with a fractured left ring finger. It also is a reminder, speaking of attrition, to vote on our poll at ESPN Radio on the Chinay Angola Jr. weekend preview. Which league has the hardest title to win in sports?
Oh, gosh,
saw Kendrick Perkins. Ryland pokes up. The NFL is leading right now with 49.4% of the vote, Janae, and I can understand why, because it's the
it's
right
the
answer.
It's the NFL. I mean, I'm a basketball player, and I'm still going to tell you it's the NFL. I mean, I look to win a championship, but, like, to have one shot each game to get all the way to the pinnacle, and you know how hard it is to repeat as a title champion versus what we see with repeats and dynasties. I'm going to give my hat to the NFL. I love you, Perk. I love my league, but I got to do that.
I can say the weekend preview, by the way, is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Chris Long, former NFL defensive end, said it best. The preeminent dynasty of the NFL, the Patriots, went a decade in between titles, and we still look at what they did as something that's going to be impossible to replicate. Speaking of impossible to replicate, the Los Angeles Lakers, are they in big trouble? Next on ESPN Radio.